I'm continuing this impromptu series on the consecration requested by Our Lady of Fatima and how it has in fact not been done, despite some Catholic figures I have a great deal of respect for recently claiming otherwise. And I'm doing this for a few reasons. First, because in about a month we begin what I think of as the Fatima cycle, that period on the calendar that marks the apparitions of Our Lady to the seers of Fatima, beginning on May 13th of 1917 and appearing every month on the 13th, running through October of that year. Secondly, because of this error that is being promoted, that an imperfect consecration was done and an imperfect reward given from heaven. And third, because I'll be appearing in an online conference on the topic of Fatima in May of next month, with a link to that 3-hour conference in the pinned comment. This will be unlike anything you've probably ever heard before. And it's not a commercial for that. Rather, it's meant to set the stage for that discussion. And for those wondering, no, I do not believe that Sister Lucia ever said the consecration was accepted by heaven. I see no evidence for it. But today I want to focus on the eyewitness testimony of someone that many of you love who was there when John Paul II did his papal consecration in 1984. Someone who has been a tireless messenger for Our Lady and who was so close to the pontiff physically that day that he could hear the words of consecration that were said. And he, being a famous exorcist and theologically trained, agrees that the consecration was never done in accordance to the request from heaven. I'll then pivot to what another pontiff that some are saying accomplished the consecration, but in reality didn't, what he said about Fatima and its message and how his take on it was seconded by a cardinal close to the Pope of 1960. The exorcist I speak of is the late great Father Gabriel Amorth, perhaps the most famous Vatican exorcist of the 20th century. Father Amorth has had numerous books written about him as well as documentary films on his life made about him. I plan to eventually review one of those films for the patrons and members of this channel, but for now, let's take stock of something he said regarding the requested consecration of a particular country at Fatima, requested by heaven through Our Lady to the seers on that fateful day more than a century ago. Father Amorth has said this consecration was not done, and he should know because he was there when John Paul II did the famous consecration through his papacy. Quote, "The consecration has not yet been made. I was there on March 25th in St. Peter's Square. I was in the front row, practically within touching distance of the Holy Father. John Paul II wanted to consecrate that country, but his entourage did not, fearing that the Orthodox would be agitated, and they almost thwarted him. Therefore, when His Holiness consecrated the world on his knees, he added a sentence not included in the distributed version that instead said to consecrate especially those nations of which you yourself have asked for their consecration. So indirectly, this included that country. However, a specific consecration has not yet been made. You can always do it. Indeed, it will certainly be done." End quote. The consecration that was requested required that country to be the focus, to have it done in union with all the bishops of the world. That didn't happen on that important day in the 1980s. Now, no one is suggesting that a papal consecration of the whole world accomplished nothing. Certainly, it would have had an effect of grace, but the promises of Fatima were never brought to fruition. But that's not all Father Amorth says. He continues here, quote, "I think it is early. I think we are close. More and more so. The Lord will make himself heard, and the world will respond. I look at all this with optimism, because God always asks us to obtain a greater good than the things he sends to correct us, which are meant to open the eyes of humanity, which has forgotten and abandoned him. I always remember the rhyme of Mastasio. Wherever I look, immense God I see. In your works, I admire you. I recognize you in myself." We should always seek the Lord. We cannot forget the origin, the first cause, as unfortunately happens today. I was with Padre Pio for 26 years and remember how furious he was with the invention of television. "You'll see what it will do," he said. "It has also allowed good things, but I'm very much in the midst of people and see what television and the internet has really wrought." End quote. Father Amorth is speaking broadly here about the loss of virtue in the world, and he is right, of course, and that is one effect of the Church's present state. Father Amorth's advice to the faithful was to pray for an interior conversion. Do acts of penance and engage in prayer. Always pray. As the angel of Fatima said in the vision of the chastisement, penance, penance, penance. Words that in any case indicate as reasonable a single stance that we should amend our lives, do penance, and become prayerful people. But what of that other pontiff that I mentioned? Well, that pontiff was Pius XII, the man who may have had the most difficult papacy since the time of Luther. In a famous exchange with a bishop of the church, Pius XII revealed a great deal about the message of Fatima. He framed it with the happenings in that country. That was to be the focus of the consecration as requested by Our Lady. And then he said this, and note something well here. This is something that does not fit into the popular narrative of what the message of Fatima was really about, and he would know. Quoting the pontiff, "I am concerned about the confidences of the Virgin to the little Lucia of Fatima. This persistence of the good lady in face of all that the Church faces is a divine warning against the consequences that will come from adhering to that call for the alteration of the faith, in its liturgy, its theology, and its soul, and what the effects would represent. I hear around me innovators who wish to dismantle the sacred chapel, extinguish the universal flame of the Church, reject her ornaments, and make her remorseful for her historical past. Well, my dear friend, I am convinced that the Church of Peter must affirm her past, or else she will dig her own grave. I will fight this battle with the greatest energy on the inside of the Church just as outside of it, even if the forces of evil may one day take advantage of my person, my actions, or my writings, as they try today to deform the history of the Church. All human heresies which alter the Word of God are so that a greater light might appear." And mostly, quote. Now, for the typical reasons, I had to clean it up a bit, but the full quote and its context are in my show notes today at returntotradition.org. Skip past the Patreon pop-up since I do not put my sources behind it. The most prophetic statement there was something here is something few ever catch, that he expected to be undermined himself. Most knowledgeable Catholics note that Pius XII's latter years were the beginning of the triumph of modernism, as the pontiff himself in his dotage was not in any position to stop changes being made, and in some cases, if we're being honest, he signed off on many of them, such as Bishop Annibale Bugnini's changes to the Holy Week liturgy that paved the way for the Novus Ordo. But Pius XII seemed to imply that the message of Fatima was about altering the faith, bringing it in line with modernity and altering the liturgy, and that this would have severely undermining consequences for the Church if it were to ever happen. What then are the consequences for everyone, everywhere, Catholic and not alike? I'll leave you to decide on that, but know that a hint of that can be seen in the timing of the closing of the Council and the decline in vocations that picked up amazing speed immediately thereafter. Now, that hypothesis is backed up by an odd source, Cardinal Silvio Oddi, who once told John XXIII, the Pope of 1960, that he didn't understand why the message of Fatima wasn't revealed as requested, and that pontiff told him to forget about it. This is a long quote, but it is worth your time. Speaking of the popular narrative about the contents of the Third Secret, Oddi, in 2001, late in life, said the following, quote, "No, on the contrary, I remain very skeptical. I believe I knew John XXIII quite well, since I spent a number of years at his side when he was at the nunciature in Paris. If the secret had concerned realities consoling for the Church, like the conversion of that country or the religious rebirth of that neighboring region, I believe that he would have brought pressure to bear to make the secret public. But temperament, he did not hesitate to communicate joyful things. It has been revealed that Cardinal Roncalli, in a number of letters to friends, practically announced his ascension to the papacy. But when I asked him during an audience why in 1960, when the obligation to keep the secret had come to an end, he did not make public the last part of the message of Fatima, he responded with a weary sigh. He then said, 'Don't bring up that subject with me, please.'" Later in the same interview, Cardinal Oddi explains his own theory concerning the content of the Third Secret of Fatima. What happened in 1960 that might have been seen in connection with the Secret of Fatima? The most important event is without a doubt the launching of the preparatory phase of the Second Vatican Council. Therefore, I would not be surprised if the secret had something to do with the convocation of Vatican II. When asked, "Why do you say that?" he responds, in part, "From the attitude Pope John showed during our conversation, I deduced, but it is only a hypothesis, that the secret might contain a part that would have a rather unpleasant ring to it. John XXIII had convened the council with the precise intention of directing the forces of the Church toward the solution of the problems that concern all of humanity, beginning from within. That is, he intended the work to begin with the evangelical perfection pursued by consecrated persons. But we all know that, despite the great merits of the council, many sad things have also taken place. These sad things are not due to the council, but they took place in conjunction with the council. I am thinking, for example, of the number of priests who have abandoned the priesthood. It is said that there have been 80,000, but only one has to recall the anguish with which the Holy Father, Paul VI, in 1968 cried out against the auto-demolition taking place in the Church, to include the smoke of Satan, quote. Concluding his own reflections upon the possible content of the Third Secret of Fatima, Cardinal Oddi adds, this, "I would not be surprised if the Third Secret alluded to dark times for the Church, grave confusions and troubling apostasies within Catholicism itself. If we consider the situation we have lived through since the council, the signs that this prophecy has been fulfilled do not seem to be lacking. End lengthy quote. Cardinal Oddi was someone who would have been able to figure out the essence of the message of Fatima. If this message was about the church embracing materialism, which, when the message of Fatima is viewed in light of the messages of La Salette and Quito, after all it is the same Mary appearing to various seers throughout history at those places, and the consequences for everyone of all of that, as seen in the message of Akita, we get a serious picture painted for those with eyes to see. Thus we get the validation from Father Amorth that the consecration was never done as requested, and that Fatima was about the church itself and its mission in the world. Is that hard for some to hear? Absolutely, but it is necessary. And why is it necessary? Because if you want to know what you can do, you can keep the five first Saturdays devotion. I sound like a broken record when I say that. I've done numerous videos on that, and I'll have it as one as the recommended video at the end of this one so you can learn about it. It's another part of the message of Fatima that has strangely not been emphasized in our times, and I have taken it upon myself to spread that message. I know that sounds like an egotistical statement, but I don't mean it as such. I'm just doing my part. The five first Saturdays devotion should be kept at a mass that is offered by the priest expressly for the purpose of the five first Saturdays devotion, meaning your typical diocesan Saturday vigil mass isn't going to cut it. I go over this more in the video you'll have recommended to you momentarily. But what do you think about this? Let me know in the comments and like, subscribe, hit that notification bell, and set it to all. It does help a lot. And please pray for the church. Thank you for listening. I'm Anthony Stein. Ave Maria.